Okay, today's talk is about new pairs. We discussed how it would work out on Yibud Rebbe Meir, that you could have a sukkah that would have alternating pieces being Neser and Neser, and the last thing that we spoke about was we reviewed the sukkah that was Shemin Amos Mitzvah Tanur. Then you had an area in the middle that was Roshim, an actual sukkah, and then on either side you had the din of Doifin Akuma. That's up to two lines above, one third of the way down. Yomer Abayi, Avir Shlosha B'Sukkah Gedolah. First you start off with a slit down the middle of a Sukkah Gedolah, of three tochim. Now the din is that if you have such a thing, so then you end up with no kosher Sukkah, because neither of the two Sukkahs that have been split apart by this line of air have three Mechitzot in a normal Sukkah. It's obvious if your Sukkah has four walls, you can have two separate Sukkahs, each one of them with three walls that were created by a slit down the middle. That's not a problem. But our standard sukkah configuration is three walls with the fourth wall completely open. That's the model that we use throughout the Gemara. In which case, if you have an area of three tochim, which is no longer lovut, that is just plain airspace, so that would be possible because you just don't have the walls. Again, it's not a magic seal that comes from airspace. And suppose now you go ahead and you seal up that area. I don't care what you seal it up with. You can be memayedit bekanim if you want, which of course is kosher stock, or you can be memayedit with silver foil, as far as I'm concerned. Point is, it's a miut. Because if you don't have an actual line of three tochim wide, you don't passel a sukkah by having an area in between that's not for tefachim, that is not kosher sukkah. So basically, your sukkah remains a sukkah, and there's no chiddush in it. But what we do need to recognize is that if you're talking about a sukkah katana, then you run into a problem. We already mentioned this yesterday when we were trying to point out that there may be one shiur for tzkach hosel and for avir when it comes to sukkah katana. Whoever pointed out that has nothing to do with a shiur. It's just you need a certain amount of tzkach to be machshir a sukkah. If you have a sukkah katana, so you have just enough area. You have 7x7 tefachim. If you take away the tzkach from that sukkah in a way that's significant, you just don't have enough sukkah. That's all. It's nothing to do with splitting it into two. So once you've got a sukkah katana, and now you've got that space in the middle. It has nothing to do with the question of whether it split the sukkah into two. It's just simply there's not enough schach. And in that case, it's not going to help you if you fill it in with something that isn't kosher schach. So the sukkah katana, if you're memayed at the kanim, you use kosher bamboo now to put over the hole, so then having it, because now you have enough schach. But bishpudim, in that case, if you try to use silver foil, well, having it, because the problem over there is not simply the hefsek in the sukkah. The problem over there is the lack of sufficient schach to be matir the sukkah of the necessary size. So that means if it's less than three tefachim that is missing, even though, let's not confuse the two halachas, it's important to put it. The din of lovut, after all, only tells you that an area that was open is not open. What we're doing now is we're using that shear of lovut in a completely different way. What we're saying is that besides the actual halacha of the Sinai of lovut, that something is able to be closed up, there's also an implication. The implication being that once something is three tefachim wide, it already reaches a stage at which we can't simply ignore it. Now the question is, what's its din? We're not going to ignore it. So we already saw this svara before, the machlokas Rebbe Meir Rebbe Yehuda. The question of the size of the Gabi Gzeras Tikra between post-Lovud, now it's three tefachim and four tefachim. Four tefachim is a given that it has chashivas in terms of space. Three tefachim is a given that it has chashivas and that we can't simply ignore it. That's more of a negative. Therefore, what Abaye is really pointing out over here is that the shear of Lovud is still a shear in terms of indicating to us something that cannot be ignored. When it comes to a sukkah, that is ketana. Once you've got three tefachim worth of schach possible, I can't ignore it. It has nothing to do with lovut because there's no hole, but I can't ignore it. So now the issue is, can I say, well, I mean, it's mostly schach kosher. I would have said that. I would have said that once it was, if it didn't get reached three tefachim. Once it reached three tefachim, I can't just say it's basically. If I could see a line of schach possible, then I have to take that line seriously. And because of that, I'm missing the schach. So again, even though we're using the same words, we mustn't confuse the two. This is what the Gemara was trying to do yesterday. Don't confuse the issue of shiurim with the question of whether you have schach or not. That's what Rava was saying. Don't throw at me this unthought out idea that it boils down to the same thing. Things don't boil down to the same thing. They may end up having the same values that are given for certain dinim, but those particular values are coming from completely different roots, and there's no comparison between them. So what Abai is doing over here is applying the concept of the implications of lovud to a din of schach posel and a sukkah katana. That's all. But it really has nothing to do with lovud. Furthermore, when do I say that all of this is avir in a sukkah? The avir is not considered to be a hefsek in a sukkah. That's hani nili minatzat. Now, this is a new idea. We didn't see this until now. Until now, we assumed that the shear of lovud that was given in the Mishnah, remember, it was the Mishnah that told us if you've got an open space of three, you got a problem. If you've got schach posel of four amas, you got a problem. But about the line in the middle of the sukkah, we were assuming all along that lovud applies in the middle the same way it does on the edge. So exactly the same as we took it for granted. That was the whole discussion yesterday. Rava was telling Tamina to Rav, where'd you get this idea of three? You got it from our Mishnah. And what were you saying about the three? That Be'emtza, Tzach, the Avir is posel b'shlosha tfachim. Where do I get that from? Because I saw that on the top of the sukkah, the Avir is posel b'shlosha tfachim, right? Right up to the wall. It doesn't reach the wall. You got three tfachim to reach the wall. Is that absolutely clear, though? I mean, maybe the din of lovud is a din in joints. I can join the wall to the roof, or I can join a piece of wall to the wall. But do I say lovud just in the middle of nowhere, on top? Would I say lovud? Maybe I was making an assumption here that if I have a line of three tefachim down the middle, that lovud defines that as not being, if it's less than three tefachim, it's not there. Yeah, maybe that wouldn't work. So indeed, schach the wall would work. And we saw wall to wall worked also. So there, says Abaye, it's not 100% true, because ani mi lemin atzad. When I'm giving you these measurements, I'm talking about when you've got the lovud up against the edge. Ava be'emtza, if you're talking about the middle of the roof, actually that's a machlokas or rachav ravina. Chadamar yesh lovud be'emtza, which is how we paskin, thank God. Chadamar ein lovud be'emtza. And the other man, the Yomar, says, no, in the middle of a roof, you can't use lovud. So if you hold you can't use lovud, then that means if you have a straight line running down without schach, it wouldn't matter how big it is. Since it's a straight line, we'd say we basically have two sukkot. We have to see if you have three walls on each side. That would really be a problem. But that is not to be confused. Again, and here Tosis points this out. But don't think that that has anything to do with the question of you got a little hole in your sukkah. You always have holes in your sukkah, right? You're going to say, in order for me to sit in a sukkah that has a hole in the schach, so I would need to use lovud. That has nothing to do with lovud. That has to do with whether the schach is significant. The missing place is significant. I don't have to seal up my whole roof to be a kosher sukkah. I just need that it should be a tzelus of merubim lechamasa. The only reason we're taking this break so seriously is because the break extends all the way along the sukkah, and therefore takes away your mechitza. It takes away your dofet. So you don't have a sukkah with shalosh nefanes. That has nothing to do with whether you've got a hole in the schach to say, I'm not allowed to sit in the sukkah unless there's no hole in the roof. Where'd you get that from? Again, because one is a din in hefsek, and that's nergeil lovud, and the other is a question of how do you define schach?
So you have a hole in the middle of a space in the middle of the roof, up in the middle of a schach that's more than 3x3, but just around the space, but it doesn't go along the hole.
So that's not a problem. The problem would be maybe sitting under it. That's a different issue. But certainly as far as what's considered to be schach, that was just the implications that we were talking about of lovud, the significance of the space. That's the talk. And I have to say, if ain't lovud b'emtza, then anything is significant, even a missing millimeter. That doesn't follow. Okay. So how do we know that there's such a my time in the mandiyama yesh lovud b'emtza? Where do we see? Give me a clear indication. I mean, lovud is a din of mechitzas. We've been applying it to the din of sichu. Show me where there's a din of lovud b'emtza according to this mandiyama. Simple. The Tanya. Kuraha yatsan mikotel ze. Ve'ina nogat bekotel acher. So now you're trying to be machshir your mavui. How do you machshir your mavui? You have a korah. The korah is supposed to go across the area of the open space, which is up against the Rosh Hashanah, into your alleyway. Well, it's sticking out of one wall, but it doesn't reach all the way the other wall. Or you may have actually had two korot, one coming out of one wall, one coming out in the middle wall of the other wall, but they don't meet in the middle. Ina nogat zubazu. So if it's less than three tvachim, ain't tzarich lavi korah acheret. Why? Because it's all considered to be mekurah, and then it's kosher mavui. Shlosha. See, what do you see from here? We clearly have a din of love and b'emtza. Korah sticks out either way. They're coming towards each other to meet, and show the picture, it's important. So at the point that they get within three tvachim of one another, they are now attached. Right? That's classic din of love. That seems to be actually a pretty darn good riot that you say love and b'emtza. And what do we say? V'idach. I mean, what would the other mandiyama say? How do you get a clear proof to the fact that yesh love and b'emtza? No, he said, of course yesh love and b'emtza, but that's only in the very kula sugya of Mavui. Koros, what's Koros? And the Rabbanim made up that whole thing. There's no such din in Diraisa of Koros. Okay, so Rabbanim said, rely on Lovud. But here you're talking about a sukkah. Sukkah is a Diraisa. How do you rely on Lovud Bamsa to create a kosher sukkah? Shine a Koros to Rabbanan. And in fact, what's the Raya demand the Omer in Lovud Bamsa?
That we
move. It has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. That would be a question of where I would say halacha, but I certainly can't create halacha out of whole cloth. If there's no din of Lovud, there's no din of Lovud. What's nafkamina, whether it's a skila or not, right? So you're telling me the Rabbanan were gozer a certain din. It's not even a din of mechitza necessarily. Korah, right? So machlokas. So that din, they said say lovet for that din of korah. What does that have to do with saying lovet for din of mechitza or for din of schach?
How do we get, this isn't really a tikkun though. I mean, we get this little header thing. Because it's overhead, right?
Yeah, we're calling it the same thing. That it's lamala. The issue of here is lamala. I mean, that's already. There's a lot of subtle discussions about this issue and about what Aaron just brought up. But let's try to stick to it simple. It's not. Why do I tell you that in love with Bamsa? Take a look. Here's a glass case. Mishnah that opens up the parak that discusses an aruba. The meaning of an aruba essentially is important to us in terms of dinim haftuma, tumas meis. So if you have now a skylight in your roof, open skylight, no glasses in it. Now the question is, what the impact of that skylight on tuma that's in the house? Usually a poteach tefa will allow allow tuma to escape. Once tuma can escape, it doesn't spread to the side, and therefore won't be communicated elsewhere in the house, depending on where it is. Okay, so the opening mission that parak says that aruba shebabayit ubatotech tefach. Once you have a size of a tefach, which of course is a shear, a special shear that is told us the gabi dinim of tuma. So if you have tuma under the roof, not under the aruba, so tuma babayit, the whole house is tummy. And masha kineged aruba tahor. But if you've got, let's say, you've got a glass that's underneath the aruba, and there's a body in the house. Since the aruba is open, it won't carry the tuma to the glass under it, because it's open. Tuma, now that's strange, because it's only open, poteach tefach. The poteach tefach should be closed in terms of the name of lavud, but yet it's not closed. It's open, and it doesn't bring tuma. If the tuma is kineged aruba, as a matter of fact, let's say if you have something that we've been betame bo'al, and you have it beneath the aruba itself, then the tuma goes straight out of the aruba, and the rest of the house is tahor. In the event that ein baruba poteach tefach, it's exactly the same. It's a little confusing, because the first Mishnah actually does not tell you the difference between if it has poteach tefach or it doesn't have poteach tefach. The rest of the parak tells you the other nafka mina, so it's a little bit funny when the Gemara only quotes this Mishnah, but it turns out to be exactly the same. Ein baruba poteach tefach, tuma babayit, keneged aruba tahor. Which of course is exactly the same halach. But in any event, it says over here, there's no din of lavud. If there were a din of lavud, then the aruba should be considered to be sealed. What's the other mandi? I'm not going to do with that. You bring me a raya from tuma. Tuma is a whole different set of halachas. Halacha l'moshe misinai that defines the din of poteach tefach as being the shear of oil, or being the shear of allowing tuma out. And specifically, it says over there that don't look at it as lavud. Look at it as open in terms of din of tuma. We're going to learn out from a special halacha l'moshe misinai. We never learn out from a special halacha l'moshe misinai, ein lamed in ma'alacha. What does that have to do with it? The din of lavud, when it comes to the din, general din of lavud and mechitzas, would certainly apply to emtsa. What kind of silly thing to learn out of tuma? Okay, so this would be the basis of the machlos. Dorash Rebbeinu Bar Yiloi. Rav Yehuda Bar Yiloi was giving his drasha, you know, and he was explaining to the tzibur, bayit shenifchat v'sichecha gabav. It's a classic case. He takes the roof off of his dining room, puts tzchach on, it's kosher. Or Marlef and Avri Shmuel Rav Yossi. Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi is very upset with his drush. Ready, parish, but for heaven's sakes, I mean, you're not explaining yourself well. People could think that if they make a hole in the middle of the dining room, and it's not, I mean, you have to say, I mean, when my father, Rav Yossi, gave the drush in the good old days, the way he said it was, kach pirish abba, arba amot psula, pachot mi arba amot shira. You got to tell them how far away from the edge of the wall you are. Otherwise, they're going to rely on it even without Dov and Akuma. Another thing that Rav Yehuda Bar Yiloi said in a drush once, that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi didn't like, it was Darsh Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda. He said, Avruma is Sharia. You're allowed to eat herring.
Actually,
these are actually very small sardine-like fish, tiny, and you can have shrotzim that are similar, that are difficult to separate from the sardines. Yeah, here it's not with the yak, we're actually separated. In carp, we have the same problem.
Well, a friend of mine works as a sardine.
Oh, in actual sardines. Oh, really? That's it. Yeah, so that's okay. That's exactly this thing. So he was saying, okay, you don't have to worry about that. So Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi was very upset. He said, what do you mean? You don't have to worry about it. Rabbi, Paresh, I mean, you got to say which sardines. My father, Rabbi Yossi, gave the drasha. So he would describe which rivers had the other species that would be problematic with these and which wouldn't. You can't just help people wherever they go. Next thing you know, they'll go to Finland, go to Stockman's and start buying things. For instance, Kihodi Om Rabbaye, if you're going to buy these little fish from the river Bob, sorry, but nothing personal there, Bob. But you buy it from the river Bob, so then they're okay. My time, why are they okay? Is it because the Bob River, the water flows with very strong current, and high dug to make even the letle chuta shidra, the type of dug that we're talking about over here that gets confused, is an invertebrate, and therefore it doesn't have power to swim against this current. That's a nice theory, except for the problem that there's plenty of invertebrates that live just fine in water that has very high current. So it's nice to sit in your armchair and decide what species should be like, but it's not the fact, so forget about that one. Is it Mishum Dubliche Maya? Is it because the Bob River has a high salt content? A high dog tamik, even the Letle Kupila Motzikoyan, because this particular dog doesn't have the scales, so Mamela, it's too sensitive to the salt. Again, it's a nice theory, but Kachazin and Dekoy, there's plenty of salty areas that are filled with dog and that don't have the scales, so that's not the story either. It's simply because of the facts. Bottom line is that the content, the chemical content of the river bottom simply doesn't provide for a place for them to reproduce. And therefore they won't live in that water. So if you know that for a fact and you check the water and you know that this particular species doesn't reproduce in those waters, then you don't have a problem. This is an amazing piece of Gemara that's coming up because it's the first description of an ecological disaster that was based on man-made screwing around with waterways. So it comes on Gravina and says, but nowadays, where they've diverted the Nahar Eitan and the Nahar Gamda, and they now flow into the Bab River, the whole thing is a disaster. Then that became usher, because I silted up with the same stuff they got there. Whatever was growing in those rivers and now brought in the livestock that wasn't indigenous to the area. And now you can no longer eat the fish there, because you have all these other things growing there. Yeah.
Can you separate them?
No, they're very tiny, so it's difficult to divide them up. It's similar to talking about the shrotzim in the actual fish. Mm-hmm. These are like parasites of those fish. They're too small to be able to pick out. It's the kind of type of problem we have today in carp. That there are parasites in the fish. That they actually hang on to the fish. You don't which is also a problem. And we do have, there was a long time where the carp were terrible here. And so, you remember that? You couldn't buy carp because they were full of worms. And
so they're big enough to see
if you're small. I don't know.
I mean, they used to come to the heads of the carp.
Now it's okay. Yeah. Okay. So this again was quite parenthetical to our segment. That's very interesting. And getting back to the case that we had before, one of the cases we had. It's interesting. We're talking about stories that lead to the different cases. The first case was in the Mishnah. We said put the stock in the middle of your dining room. Okay, that was a little story that we had over here with Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Yossi didn't like the way that Rabbi Loi gave the drush. Next case that we had in the Mishnah was that you had an achsadra. Rashi's cloister case, right? We have an achsadra. Now you put your schach down on top of the chotzer that the achsadra is around. So the halacha over there was that we rely on the mechitzot habayit if you're within arba amos of the beginning of the schach. And the chiddush was that the gemara, even though the mechitzos of the bayit were made for the house, were not made to extend in the other direction, we will still say dofen akuma, right? Okay. Now the question is, how about in a case where it's more than 4 amos? Is there anything to do? Now there's two things that we might be able to do. First of all, many times you have beams that are coming down to support the porticos that are around the edges of the porch, right? So, I mean, l'chor, if those beams are within three tvachim of one another, you got a wall anyway. Forget about the wall of the house. You have the porch basically defines a wall. But even if there wouldn't be mamish wall, you have a ceiling. And we remember, we talked before about the concept called p'tikra yored v'sote. So if I look at the edge of the ceiling of the achsadra, and I say, forget about my schach right now, could I imagine that edge of the ceiling defines a wall coming down to seal off the achsadra? I mean, maybe Lagabe Shabbos, I would even show them. It just confuses me. Maybe Lagabe Shabbos, I'd be allowed to carry in an area that would basically be a gazebo with a ceiling, and now the edges of the gazebo would come down without any wall. We would say, p'tikra yored v'sote. If I'm ready to say that, then I can put the schach on top of the gazebo and have a kosher sukkah too. So in this case, okay, maybe you'll say that's overdoing it a bit, and we'll see, perhaps it is. But over here, where the wall is not coming off of the schach itself, the wall is coming from the achsadra. So maybe p'tikra yored v'sote. Okay, pass me a picture. A kosher picture. Here. Helapsimim. Kuf tzadik beis. Straight from the butcher shop. Oh, you don't have your book?
I have this tomorrow.
All right, how's it, guys? You got your Kuf tzadik beis picture over there. Things are bad. You even have your virtual arrows going downwards in a light brown to indicate which direction the p'tikra yored v'sote, just in case you thought it was going up. So there's your virtual. What's the one before that? Oh, I'm sorry. This one, the Kotzadik Beis, had the two walls in it. Sorry. Forget about that. Go back to Kotzadik Aleph. See, this one with Stosis, he's got two full walls on the other side. That's confusing. We'll talk about that. According to Rashi, there's no walls at all. So we would... It creates a virtual wall around the sukkah itself. We're too far away. We're more than... Yeah, in a case where it would be more than four. But if we have Dofen HaKumah, we don't need to come out to Pitigra. Maybe we can. Let me just say it on the sukkah. What's special about this case is that we have a ceiling. We don't usually have a ceiling that has an edge on it. In order to say p'tikra yored v'sote, you need a p'tikra. You need the edge of a ceiling that's well-defined. And then that edge now is seen as extending downwards. Pass me the picture and I'll show you. Okay. Okay, so let's see this inside now, okay? We've been talking about it all outside. Itma. Let's say that we put schach over the achsadra. This achsadra is more than 4 amas from the edge of the house, but there are little beams coming down, so that's kosher. How about ein lepitzi? That's kosher because it's lovut. So we have a whole wall of beams. Right? That's the picture before kuf tzadik, right? Abayim, how about ein lepitzi? Abayim mekshera, rov am rapsula. Abayim mekshera. Why could Abayim? How could he possibly say it's kosher? The Mishnah says it's not kosher. Ah, because in this case, amrinan pi tikra yored v'sotei. What we could say is, the edge of the aksadra on all three sides defines the roofing. And that roofing, we said earlier, is basically the same concept of good achit mechitza. Take a mechitza down. You have the makings of a mechitza over here in the roof. Let the roof come back down and seal off the wall. It's only fair if the dofen went up and sealed the roof, right? We want to get back at that dofen. This is a backwards dofen akuma kind of thing. So the edge of the roof comes down and seals the wall.
On both sides? Right?
On three sides. He's using the three sides of the aksadra to seal off his sukkah, right? You look very unhappy about this stuff. You've been thinking maybe you could use this in your house. It'd save a lot of money, right?
You have one kosher wall.
No kosher wall.
One real wall you have.
No wall. You have no wall. Because your schach is standing in the middle of the chutzner, more than 4 amot away from the walls of the house.
So the walls of the house count.
No, you're 4 amos away. The walls of the house can't count anymore. No, you can't count. Stop it! What's the matter with you? So, in that case, it would be okay even on all three sides. This is how Rashi learns. We'll talk about those soon. Rav Omar, Psula. No, I'm in a Pitikra Yored V'Sotem. Rav says there's no such thing as saying Pitikra Yored V'Sotem in such a case. The sukkah is not kosher. Omalei Rav Labai. We'll see. Omalei Rav Labai. So, Rav Atainis to Abaya, Lididach to Amre, Pitikra Yored V'Sotem. I don't understand what you're saying. I mean, according to you, that Pitikra Yored V'Sotem, so then you might as well say that the sukkah doesn't need walls. I don't understand. Take a sukkah, build a sukkah in the middle. Forget about the achsadra. No achsadra. Okay? You're in the middle of a chatzar. You put your sukkah up in the middle of a chatzar, and you don't have three walls on your sukkah. You know what? Take down one wall. I'm asking you. You got two walls on either side. Somebody walks into your chatzar, sees two walls, parallel walls, with a hole in between, with schach on top. Is that kosher? Why not? Use the schach. Take boards. Not four tvachim boards. Three tvachim boards. Whatever shear is going to be kosher. I don't know, whoever you hold, like Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, whatever. You have an edge. The board has a nice edge to it, right? Okay, seal the sukkah with the edge of the board. Now I walk into your chutzner, and I see a beautiful sukkah with two walls, and schach, with the edge of the schach, pointing down to me with that virtual brown arrow. So do I accept the blinking light that says virtual wall ahead, and now I got a kosher sukkah, according to you? I don't understand why you need the achsadra all of a sudden. Might as well make the sukkah out of a virtual wall. Of the schach. The schach. I understand you would try to avoid the unpleasantness of my question by talking about an achsadra. So let's forget about the achsadra. Why do we need a dofen for a sukkah, for heaven's sakes? Let's just have a pitikra yor v'sosei. One wall. I want to know. One wall. You ready to go with one wall on this? So now, hifri dofen em. So I'm just going to take away the middle wall now. Okay, you're going to tell me a sukkah that had its middle wall removed, it's kosher. Or Marley says, no, I wouldn't say that. Oh, why not? Modina lechaba, with that case, I would agree. Because in that case, it becomes the equivalent of a mavui mefulash. Now, Rashi, because he learned that the aksadra is being used on all three walls, has got to do some mental gymnastics to explain what the steretz is. And because this is only one wall, you've got two kosher walls. He was ready to accept pitikra yored v'sotem on all three sides before, when it came to the aksadra. Now, all of a sudden, we got a problem, because it's the middle wall, and it now looks like a mavui mefulash. Right? So Rashi, as a parent, says Tosis, it seems to me that what he thinks we're going to believe is that because of the fact that this is standing smack bang in the middle of a chatzar, and therefore it's a place where people are walking, that the walls basically have no chashivut, because it's a mokum, the baki barabi, people are just walking through. You can't create a pitikra yored v'sotem when basically there's nothing to indicate that we're trying to make a mechitza at all. So there I made it. And that, says Tosis, is weird svara. He actually uses those words. Svara mishuna. It's a weird svara. I don't know. Okay, I mean, mice is not something that we've never seen that type of thing before in Erevin and so on. But Tosis does not like this approach at all, because it's awfully funny to start off saying you use pitikra on all four sides, and then to come with like this big question. What? You mean you'd allow it to be on one side? And then to explain that one side is basically worse than the three sides. The whole sugya is very strange, according to Rashi. And it gets worse. worse. Take a look now on the next piece. It gets even worse. Lema Abaye v'Rava b'pluk to the Rav and Shmuel kamiflege. Shall we say that Abaye and Rava are arguing in the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel? Deidma. Haksadra b'bika. Now here we're talking about, we take a case of a bika. Bika means in the middle of a valley. That way we won't get confused. We're talking about a gazebo, and it's in the middle of nowhere. Okay. There's no mechitas at all. So Rava mar muter letalta v'kula. So according to Rav, you can carry inside this gazebo. Well, how can I carry? What do you mean? I'm in the middle of a carmelite, basically, over here. And a bika, I should only be allowed to carry up to Arba Hamas. I can't carry as far as I want. Why can he carry? Because we say Pitikra Yorei Vesotem. This is like an enclosed space. If it's an enclosed space, it's like a Rosh HaSayochid. And in Rosh HaSayochid, you're allowed to carry. Whereas Shmuel says, how can you carry outside of Arba Hamas? You're in the middle of a carmelite. To lo amin, Pitikra Yorei Vesotem. After all, a gazebo doesn't have any walls. All it has is a framework and a roofing. So you wouldn't be able to carry. Now, at this point, again, according to Rashi, at this point, we believed that the machlokas and by of a Rava was that Rava essentially held of Pitik Rav Yared Vesotem also, except that he wasn't willing to say we'll enclose an entire area with Pitik Rav Yared Vesotem. Now, Baya was willing to say we would enclose an entire area. Therefore, we compare their machlokas to the machlokas over here of Aksadra Babika, where we are trying to enclose all four sides. In the case of the Aksadra, we would need to enclose four sides. Oh, okay. So apparently, they're going according to the Shita. So apparently, what we're saying is, if you're saying according to Shmuel that there's no din of Pitik Rav Yared Vesotem, so I'll leave it at Shmuel Kalayam Lo Plege. Look, there's no possible way for Abaye to fit into Shmuel. That's for sure. Because remember, there is one issue that we haven't discussed. We haven't openly discussed, but we know that it exists. And that is, all along, throughout the mission, throughout the Sol Sukkah, we have been concerned for the question of where was a mechitza meant to be functional. So there was the tzad to say, maybe we won't say Dofer Akum in a direction other than the one that mechitza was meant for. We're going to see that there's even a shita that holds it. You don't say Lovud in a direction that the mechitza wasn't meant for. Certainly, the tikra that's on top of the achsadra in our cloisters was not meant for the sukkah. That's not what the galocha were thinking about. So that tikra was meant for the actual portico, not for the chatzit. So if Abaye is ready to say that even in the case of an achsadra, pi tikra yoreid v'sotein, despite the fact that it wasn't meant for it, so kol shekein, he wouldn't be able to agree with Shmuel, because in the gazebo, I'm trying to use the tikra for the gazebo itself, and Shmuel doesn't want to even do that. Abaye is ready to use a pitikra even not for the thing itself. So Abaye and Shmuel don't have a chance of a snowball in hell. They're never going to agree on this, right? So Abaye cannot be going like Shmuel. That's for sure. That's what the Gemara means here when it says, the Rashi points out, we always do this. There was first we isolate the thing that we're never going to be able to fix. Okay, so I'll leave it to Shmuel, that we can't fix. Abaye is not going, I'll leave it to Shmuel. Good. Now the question is, do we have to say, however, that Rav is only going, I'll leave it to Shmuel? Or would Rav be able to, that Rava was only going, I'll leave it to Shmuel, or could be going like Rav too? Says the Gemara, no, he can go. Keep pleading, I'll leave it to Rav. Rava was tining that Rav would agree with him also. The Abaye is saying, well, look, Rav says, be tikriyod v'seis, so that's what I'm saying. Mutla tata b'kulay, in the case of the achsadra rabika, I'm saying if that's the case, so then you can use the tikra for all three mechitzas of your sukkah, kosher sukkah. Thank you. Rava says, excuse me, there's no comparison. Adka lohama Rav hasa. Why did Rav say, in the case of the achsadra rabika, that the tikra comes down and turns that into an enclosed space? That's because the mechitzas, meaning the roof, was made for the achsadra. So the point of the gazebo, any idiot sees that, the point of the gazebo is that it covers the gazebo and makes the gazebo a separate space where you feel comfortable and secure sitting in the middle of the bika. So over there, Rav is ready to say, fine. So by the same token, you're allowed to carry in it because we see the edges as extending downward. But here, you're trying to take the edges of a roofing that was meant for the portico and you want to make a mechitza for the sukkah that's outside of the portico. Does that make sense? There you go. Say pitikra yod v'sotem. Aval hacha, the law v'lach yavidei lo. In the case of our Mishnah, we have the achsadra, so there for sure you wouldn't possibly say such a thing. Now, of course, there's a little bit of a problem with Abaye, and that is that the Mishnah doesn't agree with him. Understand, did we just come off from a Mishnah? The Mishnah said, if you've got more than four amot, then the achsadra is not going to be good for the sukkah. What is Abaye thinking? What does the Mishnah mean, according to Abaye? Why did the Mishnah give us a shear of four amot? If it's less than four amot, I use dofen akuma, and if it's more than four amot, I use pitikra yod. But in either case, it would be kosher. So why does the Mishnah say, if it's more than four amot, it's psula? Asks the Gemara, indeed, it's not. How does the Abaye read the Mishnah? It says, chotzer hamukefet achsadra. And what's the din? More than arba amot, psula. Am I? Nema piti krayo reid v'sotein. According to Abaye, why isn't it kosher? So Tirgim and Rav, look, Abaye wasn't around to defend himself, but Rav said, look, man, it's obvious the way that Abaye is learning the Mishnah. Tirgim and Rav, alibad Abaye. Kishishva et kiruyo. What it's talking about over there is a case where you laid the schach down on the same line as the roofing of the achsadra instead of supporting it above the roof of the achsadra. So if you had laid the schach above the roofing of the achsadra, so then the roof, the tikra, would be visible under the schach and would create a mechitza. But if you put the schach up against the roof, I don't see the roof anymore. Once I don't see it, I destroy the impact of pitikra yard vasote and I can't use it. That's the case the Mishnah is talking about. No, because that's the standard case. Because you're telling me that you filled in the space, is what you're saying. You filled in the space, same way I filled in the space in my living room. Okay, so that's fine. So, I mean, you understand that this next piece, I mean, is really disturbing. That Rav is shouting about one wall of a sukkah, and his only problem, according to Rashi, is that he doesn't want to go all the way on four walls. It's like everybody's, so that means that he himself already knew the difference. So what is he shouting about? If he would have been willing to go along on three walls instead of four walls, or on two walls of a sukkah instead of the three walls of the sukkah. Very, very strange way of learning a sukkah. And because of that, Tosis disagrees with Rashi completely in how to understand this sukkah. And not only because of that, but also because he has different girsa in Erevin from where this sukkah has been referred to, and actually comes out with very, very different understandings of how the two sukkahs interrelate and what the two shitas are of Rav and Shmuel. So given Rashi's assumptions, he had no choice but to read this. Tosis, on the other hand, learns that it's talking all along that Abaye was only ready to be machshir one missing wall, and only a missing wall that was connected a gamma, not a missing wall in the middle in the achsadra. And that was your picture kufzadik beit that showed the two walls according to Tosfos. This achsadra had two full walls. Now the question is, can I rely on one wall for pitikra yored v'sote? Rava was tining, and how does Abaye explain the fact that he won't allow the schach itself to be the wall, which is why he took the case of the sukkah? And there Abaye said that's because it's not a gamma, and therefore it's considered to be the equivalent of a mefulash. I wouldn't have said that in the achsadra either. But it's not that he's trying to make a difference between if there is an achsadra or there's not an achsadra. There is an achsadra, you're in the middle of nowhere. That isn't the point, according to him. Furthermore, the question over here, says Tosis, in the case of the achsadra biko, nobody was being machshir all four walls on the achsadra biko. But that there, he has to actually change the gears. It wouldn't help all four walls, even for Shabbos, even Lagabe Karmelis. Right. The question was whether he holds, even if it was Prutzah Bimloa, Rav would say, I'm willing to say two mechitzas. And Shmuel wasn't willing to say two mechitzas. That was the question. The exact opposite of how Rashi is learning. But certainly there would never be a tzad to say pitikra yored v'sosim on all sides. Now, lemaisa, the way it's brought in the poskim, you know, we had the Tosis Rid and some of the other Rishonim bring that from this sugya, even though it's not clear from the sugya, is that we will never say pitikra yored v'sosim from the tikra of the sukkah itself. And that's what was really happening with the case of the hifrit. I have to have another mechitza. Whether that mechitza is made out of lavud or whether it's made out of gudachit or whatever you want to call it, but the mechitza can't be the schach. The schach can't create the mechitza. So, and that's what Rava was saying. The way that Rabbi was saying, why can't a sukkah just be its own mechitza? And on that, the Gemara says, I'm motive to you that it can't create its own mechitza. It has to be something that's external. How they fit that into the lashon of the Gemara is not so pashut. But lemaisa, I mean, that's really what it boils down to. Also, you should know that there is another shita, which is the shita of the Rif. According to the Rif, the Betzimim and non-Betzimim over here is not a normal case of Lovud sticks. Betzimim means is there a beam at the edge that holds the porch up. And he understands the concept of the Betzimim to work with Pitikri Yod Vesote, not as an alternative to Pitikri Yod Vesote. If there are Betzimim in the edge, so then the formation of the roof together with the Betzimim forms a mechitza. That's how he's learning it. Not the Betzimim alone or the Pitikri Yod Vesote alone form a mechitza. That's yet a whole other way of learning this sugya. A little bit. I mean, that was the other way that we were bringing the mechitza up instead of down. Yeah. Well, without that, for sure we wouldn't say it. Right. So he learns the Petzimim are part of the sugya. With Petzimim, everybody's what it's kosher. Why is it kosher? Pitikri Yod Vesosim. Not because of the Petzimim, but because the Petzimim make Pitikri Yod Vesosim on the Aksadra. Without Petzimim, would you also say Pitikri Yod Vesosim? And that's the Machlokas that he has in a Maivra. No, that was the other way. We're bringing the wall up, not down. That was Heker Mechitzes over there, an Amud in the middle of a roof or so on. No, the Petzimim are the beams and the edge that make the ceiling significant, according to the Rif. They don't go all along the wall. That picture is Rashi's picture and Tosfos' picture. And it's a Lovud board. It's a totally different way of learning the sugya. Rashi tells us we're learning there's two alternatives. Using lavud, which is psimi, or using pitik or yod vesosim if you don't have that. The Rif is saying the whole sugya is built around pitik or yod vesosim. Pitik or yod vesosim that works because there are psimim on the edge, or perhaps doesn't when there are no psimim on the edge, which I have rather argue about. Psimim are just, there's no picture of psimim according to Rif. Yes, two columns on the side. A typical porch pit. A porch is made with like a big column on the pit. Yeah, that's pure. This is pure Rashi. This is with Kuf Tzadik. We have the. You have a regular. I don't know. If this is, does he have the rib?
I'm having trouble visualizing.
One is there with a couple of boards right
in
the edge
of the side.
I don't know.
But the
same point
to the
rib
would be the same as.
No, I guess he's not. This is not showing. Which picture? Oh, that's another book. Yeah, that's good. Maybe.
No, here. That's the Alexander.
It's like that.
Without the,
it's a different sugya, but it's the same idea. Which one is this? This is not. This is Sadra Vika. No, that's Sadra Vika. Okay, look. They're not promising to show you the rift. No, the case of the Sadra Vika over here is that it extends over the support beams, and that's not seeming. That's just supported, but they're not only supported columns. No, it could be, but they're at the edge of it. So they outline it. They outline the table. Yes, we could have support like that from inside and extend over the edge, which is very common. Let me answer this question.
So when they put this shop on the same level as the existing roof, according to Bayadab, was Vidikra?
No, that was above the roof or on the same level. That hit the roof. Now you can't use Vidikra.
Then
you could. Then you have a lip. Without a lip, there's a P. Without a P, there's no Vidikra. All right, let's we'll do more of it. We're still in the middle. Om Rabbi Avir Shlosha Besukah Gedola. Umiyato, Ben Bekanim Ben Bishpudim Avimiyot. Besukah Ketana, Bekanim Avimiyot, Bishpudim Lo Avimiyot. Ani Minim Min Hatzad, Ava Be'emsa, Pliki Baravach Ravina, Chadamar Yesh, Lavud Beemsa, Vachadamar Ein Lavud Beemsa, my time in the Bandamar Yesh, Lavud Beemsa, the Tanya. Korah yotza mikotol zaveinu nogat mikotol acher v'chen shtei korot achat yotzit mikotol zavei achat yotzit mikotol acher v'einu nogat zu bezug pachot b'shlosha ayinu tzarech lavi korah acheret shlosha tzarech lavi korah acheret v'idach true but shiny korot it's all the rabbanan. My time the money I'm in love with the emsa it's la na ruba shuba bayit uba pater tevach tu men bayit kolo tom ima she kene gada ruba tor tu men kene gada ruba kolo bayit kolo tor in ma ruba pater tevach tu men bayit kene gada ruba tor tu men kene gada ruba kolo bayit kolo tor vi ida shani yochas tu men dachi gemerlo Torah Rabbi Rabbi Loi Bayit Shanim Chat Vesichei Chag Abav Kshera Omer Lofanev Rabbi Yishmol Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Parish, kach pirish abba, harba amot psot psula, but pachot mi harba amot kshira. Dosh, Rabbi Rabbi Yalav, ruma sharia, amal afan Rabbi Yishmo, Rabbi Yazir, Rabbi, parish, kach amar abba, shalmok aploni asura, shalmok aploni mutaras, kerem rabbi, haitzach anta the bab nahara sharia, my time, ilay mi mishum nerudifim, maya vahay doktor, mekiv nalasa, chutashitur lomatsi koim, vokarazin and the koi, unfortunate facts always get in the way. Another one of those unfortunate facts. Would you even say, by the way, the grub brings an absolutely ingenious raya to the Hagos Maimonides. From this, the Hagos Maimonides who said, don't put up the schach before you put up the walls. Because Tosfos asks, why does the Gemara use the word hifchit? I mean, why can't you just make it that way in the first place? Right? Says, maybe hifchit means the same thing. I don't know. Says the Gemara, no. Because that's the point. If you would have started using pitikra yored v'sotein, then you would have your schach before the mechitzas. But if you have a mechitza, now you remove the mechitza, now you can use the pitikra yored. It's so cute. Okay. So would you also say there? So look, I'll leave it at Shmuel. There's nothing to do. I mean, for sure, Abaye can't work out like that. Because Shmuel is talking about even in a case where you're using its own roof for itself and it's not good enough. Koshkin, you're not going to be able to use its own roof for a sukkah outside of it. But keep pleading, I'll leave it at Rav. So Abaye says, okay, I'm saying exactly what Rav says. Rav says, no. So now it turns out, now what's the real machlokas between Rav and Shmuel? Nothing to do with Pitikra Yoreid Vesotem in general. Nothing to do with how many walls. But simply whether you say Pitikra Yoreid Vesotem of a Tikra that was meant to cover a different area than the one that you're trying to use the wall for. That's all. So that's a much more reasonable machlokas. Ask the Gemara, how about the Mishnah? It's none. V'chein chotzer amukefet aksadra. V'amai, name a pitigra yorei v'sotein. Tir Gemara v'alibad abayak yishishva et kiru yod.